I was dead from wrong, and I'll die in
here. Welcome to our group.
And this ought to show it right here.
Do you or someone you know suffer from depression? If so, please contact the National Suicide Prevention Lifeline at 1-800-273-8255.
Good evening, everybody. Hope you all are staying warm, and those of you that are in line with these freaky storms, stay warm, stay inside if you need to. Just take care of yourselves. Meanwhile, for those of you listening and just new tuning into us, be sure to check out our national Facebook page. And in the search box, all capital letters, Defenders 7. Before you hit that join button, just know we expect all of our members and future members to participate throughout all we do here in the Defenders 7. Check out and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Subscribe to our website, all lowercase letters, www.defender7.com. On our website, you'll find that we have a store and a donate button. 100% of all sales from our store and any donations we bring in go back to our communities throughout all 50 states in a time of need. So please, by all means, purchase something from our store or click that donate button. Help us to help you and your community when you're in time of need. We're on MeWe. If you click on communities, scroll down. Defender 7, Humanitarian American Patriot Group. That's right, folks. We are not a militia. Now, for tonight's show and all the shows we do here on Blog Talk Radio, we really do like it when you call in and wish a lot more people would. And that number to call, area code 914-205-5773. Call in and participate. And that's what we like about our shows. You bring your thoughts and your opinions. Everybody's always welcome. Now, without further ado, allow me to bring in your host, our Colonel, Kimberly Purvis. Good evening.
Howdy, howdy. How are you?
You staying warm?
Yeah, trying. I'm inside. I'm cooking for my Christmas party at work tomorrow. So...
Oh,
I'm
cool.
Making some deviled eggs and banana pudding. You know,
and
I didn't think about it.
Detour,
I'm like,
you're going to detour here first, right, and drop some off?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. I didn't realize, I forgot how expensive freaking eggs were. And I'm like, dear God, $10 for a dozen and a half eggs, 2.5 dozen eggs. I'm like, what the
damn
hell? Yeah, I'm like, do we really want deviled eggs? And I already said I'd make them, so I'm like, whatever. And then I said banana pudding, which that's the other nightmare, because friggin' vanilla wafers are a friggin' fortune. I'm like, what the hell? They better appreciate this shit that I make tomorrow.
Right.
So, and if not, too damn bad. I don't think anyone knows that I'm done it. Well, I'm only staying as a PRN as needed, so they better appreciate this shit. I drove an hour and a half today to go help out in our other office. Hour and a half. And it normally doesn't take but 45 minutes to get there.
Right.
Problem is, the road sucks.
So
was the whole point of today. The point of today's show, what to expect, what to do for cold exposure, frostbite, and all that stuff. And it actually goes beyond that because, let me tell you, I was on the Weather Channel watching the videos of, and it's not just Kansas. By all means, it's not. It is all over the United States, right? Well, almost three quarters of the U.S. is being pummeled by this Arctic blast. Huh?
I said, thanks, Herp.
Yeah. Well, the sad thing is, the only thing we're getting today is freezing winds. You know, we get up to 30, 40 mile an hour wind gusts today, and dense freezing fog. And that's where the problem is, because it's the fog mist is freezing and slicking up the highways. And of course, your bridges will freeze before, you know, the rest of the roads. And I swear to God, driving 35 miles or so, 10 accidents. Most of them were like one right after another. We had a couple of tractor trailers flip over on a bridge. Luckily, they didn't get hurt. I mean, there must have been 50 accidents, if not more. And this is just what other nurses, you know, and our staff that's reported seeing, you know what I'm saying, is all these accidents. But it's pretty bad.
They said on the news here, I only get Minnesota news because I'm right on the border, but there's almost 400 accidents, I believe, just right in that area, Minneapolis area.
Yeah, I think there's quite a few, actually. There's been quite a few. It was so bad here in Louisville that...
That was just because Lorna was out on the road.
Oh, no, I wasn't. I ain't going out in this shit if I don't have to.
Yeah.
Uh-uh. Oh, that's right. I forgot. You don't have a real truck.
Oh, whatever. I did go out and start it, though. I did go out to start it, and it turns over, like, super hard. My finger actually got flat. I don't know how that happens. Is that a part of frostbite? Your finger's going flat?
Flat?
Yeah, it looked like it was flat.
What do you mean flat? Like fingertips or?
Yeah, right where my fingertip would be on my left index finger. It was like flat.
Pump them up.
Yeah, I would say because the blood is leaving your fingers. And so, yeah, I guess you would. I've never seen it, but I'm not saying that you couldn't.
Yeah, and I was only outside. I went outside to take Ralph out to go to the bathroom, and while he was going to the bathroom, I decided I better start my truck and clean it off and blah-de-da-de-da, and my hand hit the snow, and I kept on. Of course, I don't own a pair of gloves. And, yeah, I know. And my finger, when I came in, I couldn't feel my fingers. They were all doing the tingly thing, and I looked out at my hands, and my one finger was flat.
Yeah, that's part of frostbite or frost nip or whatever. So before we get into the effects of exposure, so everybody should know, if you know, you're old enough to know, if you've been driving at all, the bridge is always ice before the road because the cold air gets underneath the bridge and freezes everything. So... don't be these stupid people that, you know, which I've seen today go flying down the road and you hit your brakes and unless you have anti-lock brakes, your happy ass is going to go flying across that bridge and maybe over the side of the bridge. You know, and it's like, wow, really? Karma's a bitch. That's what all I got to say about that. Karma's, you're just asking for an accident. If you're in areas where there's a lot of fog, don't have your brights on because it makes it worse, actually. Have them on your dims and at least have them on, you know. For your vehicle, you know, this is all going to be depending on where you live, but it's still a concept of coldness and all that crap. It's a good idea to keep jumper cables in your car, bottles of water, some snacks, dry socks, an extra blanket. I would put an extra winter coat in your car, gloves, scarf, hat. What else can you guys think of to keep
food
in your car?
Food.
Well, yeah, snacks or non-perishable stuff.
Right.
Emergency
definitely.
Blanket.
Bags of salt or a bag of salt. You may need it.
Emergency blanket.
Flares.
Yep. Yep. Let's see. Batteries, flashlight. Like I said, it all depends on where you live and what time of the day you're out. So if you're out during the day, well, you're not going to need a flashlight. But just in case your car breaks down and you don't have AAA and, you know, you can't get, you're going to need that flashlight. You're going to need those extra items. Yeah, make sure your car is, your tank is full. Been there, done that, where my battery died. It was so cold, the battery died when I lived up north, and I had... You have all the shit in my car. So, but your battery, that's why it's the important thing of having a jumper cable. I think, what else? Hand warmers, foot warmers, you know,
fire.
The little things that you, huh?
Fire starter.
Yeah, any of that, you know, it's important to have. Now, here's the other thing. If you are on a highway or a backcountry road and your car breaks down, whatever, God forbid you get an accident, whatever, don't get out of your car and just start trucking because you're in a vehicle that's already gives you some protection against the elements. You don't want to get out and start walking and then, you know, what if you're 10 miles from the nearest exit or whatever? And then you could die of frostbite or hypothermia. So that's the last thing that you want, you know. What else? So with traffic safety, say you, I'm going to tell you what happened to me today. I had a couple of Final Destination moments. And if you've ever seen the movie, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is why I say this. Because of where I live, it's already windy, right? And these massive gusts of wind can actually push a car. They can push tractor trailers, slap over. So I'm minding my own business in the left-hand lane, just, you know, doing about 40 and a 70 because, you know, you can't drive that fast when it's that windy and bad weather. Anywho, I'm driving along, and the wind pushes me. Right? So I don't really panic because I know keep both hands on the steering wheel and unless you have anti-lock brakes, don't slam on the brakes. It's a constant slow pressure if you have anti-lock brakes, constant slow pressure and you'll stop. Well, needless to say, to my surprise, the wind pushes me to the right-hand lane, right? And you know what's in the right-hand lane? Freaking gas truck. And I think I must have been, like, I don't know, 2 feet from the truck. And he was flying. So that's one. Then the other one was, I guess I must have hit a patch of ice and with a little bit of wind, and I just gently put my foot on the brake, but the brake catches. And you know how it does that where the car shakes a little, like the brakes are wet, and it did that. And that was my second moment where I wanted to throw up for the day. And I have almost instant heart attack. So just use your brains, guys. Don't go, you know, if you don't need to be out, don't go out. Our police department, believe it or not, they were shutting the highway down. There were so many car accidents today that KAK News came out and said that they're shutting the highways down. And they did, for the most part. I mean, if you're already on the highway, whatever. But they started blocking all the entrances to the highway so nobody could get on the highway today. So, you know, and just because you have a truck, I don't care what kind of truck it is, don't mean you own the road. It doesn't mean you could be a jackass and, you know, go flying up the road. So that's enough on all that crap. So I'm trying to wing it here for a few minutes while I finish up doing these damn deviled eggs. Trying to think. So there's frost nip, frost bite, and hypothermia. I know we've covered this a lot, but you know what? Sometimes people need a refresher course, and that's okay. So with this Arctic blast, right, they're saying that you could get hypothermia and frostbite in 10 minutes. 10 minutes of exposure outside. Normally, it would take longer than that, depending on what you're wearing. Now, if you go outside, make sure you have a scarf that covers your neck, ears, and your mouth. Because believe it or not, excessively cold air can damage your lungs. And you could actually freeze your lungs. And then you end up breathing in all that cold moisture, which is not what you want in your lungs. You don't want that crap. So be very careful when you go out if you have to. I would say even where, depending on how, if it's like, Lorna, how much snow have you got right now?
Oh, God. I mean, total on the ground or what's just fell in the last couple of days?
Well, I mean, is it blowing like a blizzard or is it just snowing?
No, it's pretty bad out there. It's blizzardy. I think I've shoveled about 6-7 inches earlier, and I just got done shoveling a little spot for Ralph, and there's another probably 5-6 inches throughout. That's just today. So about a foot, and then I think a total on the ground has got to be a couple feet.
Oh, wow. Yeah, we don't have anything yet. We got a little dusting because of the fog freezing, you know. And that, you know, honestly, I'd rather have snow than that friggin' black ice.
Oh, absolutely, 100%.
You can't even see the black ice. And
no.
That shit will kill you quicker. But yeah, if you've got like the, and I'm sure everybody knows, if you've been in the, you know, Montana weather or New England weather, you know what to wear outside. You know, your scarves, hats, and all that crap, because you don't want to die. It's not worth it. Let me see what else. Oh yeah, your pets. There are some animals, yes, that love the cold. They actually need the cold. Not all dogs do. So, if you're cold, they're cold. But guess what? You know that thing, how they're there, if you're cold, they're cold? Well, there are some morons in this world who will go outside with shorts and a t-shirt on in this weather. They don't care, and they're not cold. So, you can't always go by that theory with your pets or even your children. But, like, I have a pit. She's a short-haired dog. My dog hate the damn cold. They can also get hypothermia, believe it or not. Their paws. Think about that. They don't even have shoes on. They got the little pads on their feet. Now, my son has a German Shepherd, and that little butthole will stay outside in a blizzard chasing snowflakes. That's how stupid he is. So just remember your pets. Let them out, go to the bathroom, let them back in. You know, if they like it, let them play outside in it, but make sure you bring them back inside. So,
Ralph gets all bundled up.
Huh?
Ralph gets all bundled up. He's got a sweater. He's got a jacket. He's got a hoodie.
Yeah, I have to do that for Precious because she does not do well with the cold at all.
Nope, Ralph don't either.
Yeah, and she's like, uh-uh, nope, I ain't doing this. Not going to do it. So, women, I'm sitting here making deviled eggs, and I have never in the history of my life run out of egg yolk, you know, to make the little mix in egg halves. I have run out of damn egg yolk. I think I put too much egg yolk in some of these eggs. Yeah, oh, well. But, don't forget to keep your water on, like a slow dribble or a little stream, because you don't want freezing water pipes and all that good stuff to happen. That's not cool. So, dog, I'm not gonna let Bing back outside. Speaking of stupid dogs, I have to go outside here in a second. Try to think what else before I get into actual hypothermia and all that cool stuff. Any other safety things to worry about?
Keep your vents up here. Keep your vents open to the outside.
Do what?
You know, your your gas furnace, what do you call it? Natural gas, your regulator.
Oh, okay.
Keep them cleared out. Clean your dryer vents.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
Chimney, keep your chimney clean if you got burn wood.
Oh, and you have your carbon monoxide detectors.
Yep. And a good tip for chimneys, throw your aluminum cans in your fire. It's the same thing as in fire lines.
It's what?
It's the same thing as the fire logs, just throwing aluminum cans in your stove, your wood stove.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
Yep. Did it all the time. I never had to clean my chimney. It was spotless, and I was always, every month that chimney would be checked.
Oh, okay.
And that's another thing.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody ever checks their damn chimney. Check it every month. Not that hard. It only takes 5 minutes.
You smoke alarms, fire, or carbon monoxide. The other thing, so what if you lose your power, right? And you have no heat?
That has been happening a lot around here.
Do what?
That's happening a lot around here because the first storm that came through, I think last week, it was that wet, heavy, heavy rain mixed in with snow shit. And it's busting up a lot of pine tree branches. And there's been like a shit ton of people with no power.
Okay. So there is this thing. Okay. So if just say you lose power, right? So some of the best things you can do, depending on where you live also, a lot of people up north, especially when it gets really cold and it snows a lot, people will put plastic over the windows on the inside to kind of give that extra barrier against the cold air, right? So just say you lose your power. So if you have tea light candles, right? Because, you know, there's, I don't know if you got, well, a lot of guys may not know what they are, but there's this little tea light candles that your wives or girlfriends, or mom or whatever uses. You could actually take those, and they say you take those clay pots, and I forgot how, there's a ton of videos where you cover it and you make a little, where it looks like almost like a small little chimney, and the heat from the flame will heat up that clay pot, and it will actually heat up your house or a room. But another thing to do is if you have pets, children, or whatever, close off rooms. And I have gone so far as to put a blanket up in a hallway and then put everybody in the living room and just get blankets, pillows, and bundle everybody up. And if you have a bunch of candles, believe it or not, candles, if you have enough of the big candles, will put off some heat.
Another thing you can do is you can put a tent up to sleep in.
That's true. And you could do those, the, what you call it?
Just
the candles.
Keep little Walmart camping.
And you could actually put a blanket over it to keep in some heat and stuff. Now, when we went camping at the Land Between the Lakes, it was freaking cold. And we had a little table, and I took 6 tea light candles, lit them, and believe it or not, the heat from me and my friends and the candles actually warmed up the tent. Now, I'm not going to say it's going to be tropical heat wave weather, but it will put off enough warmth to make it possibly like 40 degrees or 45 degrees, not that frigid-ass cold outside, which is why it's important that you don't get stuck out in the element. Now, say you could, now if you can do this, I was planning on doing this. If you have any extra money, which I know not a lot of people have extra money nowadays, but, you know, there's a lot of homeless people that ain't getting shit from our government right now. That's a whole other discussion. So, if you have extra socks, gloves, hats, blankets, anything small, go find some homeless people that you could give it to because they're out in this, and some may not have anywhere to go. In a city of 400,000 people, you know we only have 2 homeless shelters, one for women and one for men. That's it. That's all we got. But out of 400,000 people, how many are homeless? I don't know. But it's always full. I've taken care of male patients when I worked at my other job in home health. It was always full. Whenever it would rain and stuff, and the guys had nowhere to go. If you have some homeless people that you know, try to help them out because this is some horrific weather that we're going to be going through. And believe it or not, it actually got warmer by the end of the day. It was 20 degrees when I started, and I got home, it was 32.
Oh, lucky you. I've been at 0 all day.
Well, no. It's just, that's just plain temp. That's not counting the wind. Like right now, I'm going to get my, trying to walk dumb and dumber and do this shit in the dark. Right now it's 31 degrees, but it feels like it's 28. We got a little bit of a breeze. Right now, nothing too bad. But we have a winter weather advisory until Friday morning. They're expecting the temps to be 35 below, and that's with the wind. And right now, here in southeast Kansas, they're saying 50-mile-an-hour wind gusts.
other places, it may be up to 60 mile an hour wind gusts. That's a lot.
Yep.
That's a lot for a winter storm. Hold on a second. My dog would spot the only freaking animal in the pitch black outside. And I got to go. We have to leave their leashes on them, even though we have a fenced-in yard, because these two jackasses like to bolt under the fence. So, hold on. I go get Dumb and Dumber here. Holy crap. So, Sam's dog. Sorry, guys. My freaking... So, anywho, plan on slippery road conditions, blowing snow, can make it your visibility crap next to nothing, pretty much. Like today, the fog made it almost impossible to see, like, 100 feet in front of me, maybe 200. So, what made it pretty cool was the trees were all white, not from snow, but from frost. And it was real pretty. And then as long as it stays on the tree, that's where it could stay. And then we're supposed to have freezing drizzle until probably 11 o'clock tonight. Okay, so back to the so frost nip is where your extremities, your fingers and toes, usually your nose, those are the three most prominent places to get frost nip. So don't get me wrong, you can get it anywhere else, but usually it's your nose, your eyes, excuse me, in your hands, fingers and toes, and feet. This is why I say get those hand warmers if you don't have any decent gloves. Those are always good to have. So usually, as Lorna has already found out, it doesn't take long for your body to react to the cold.
Only 5-10 minutes.
Yeah, it doesn't take long, especially this Arctic shit. This Arctic stuff is nothing to mess around with. So, anyway, dang gone it. So, yeah, your fingers will start to turn red, right?
Yeah.
And then once they go from that, they get numb, okay? And then once they go numb, they'll turn white, then blue, then purple, then black. Okay, that's the big boy. That's the, as we like to say, you done screwed up. You see? Well, you better stop growling. How do you fix a dog who keeps growling at everything? No, seriously, I don't know what his deal is. Ever since he moved into this house, he's had this whole years and now attitude, and he starts growling at Precious for no reason. Go. He does this little, and then he wants to look at me like he wants to bite me, and I will throw you outside and leave you out there. Oh yeah. Every time she ate, we figured it was food aggression for some reason. But we took the food away during the day, and they're only allowed to eat at night, and then we don't allow them to have human food or treats if two people are not around. That's the other reason why we leave the leashes on, but we got to go to a dog obedience. But he needs to have his nardies cut off, and I think that's where some of his aggression comes from. Once your fingers, and you'll notice this, I don't know about you guys, but I did notice that my toes get colder faster than my hands do. Now, one, I would surmise it's because your feet are on the ground and they're not like you don't move them as much, your toes as much as you do your fingers. But what you got it? Okay. So yeah, that's what happens. I notice when my toes get colder quicker than my hands do. But okay, so say this is a trivia question. Say your hands go numb, right? And you're not at frostbite, you're at frost nip, right? And your hands or any part of your body goes numb and starts turning reddish, white, you know, and start a transition. What's the one thing that you don't do?
Put them under hot water.
That's one. That's a big one. Never. That's like pouring hot water on a frozen window.
Mm-hmm.
On your car. Yeah, never put your hands under, matter of fact, you just put it under room temperature water.
Yeah.
Your hands, feet, whatever. Just say you fell in an icy water. The one thing that's one of the biggest things you have to do is, one, get wrapped up as soon as possible, and then take off those wet clothes. So, because the cold, wet clothes will actually make you colder. I don't know if you guys knew this or not, but you take cold water and then you throw ice in it. What happens? It gets colder. Same principle. So, I'm trying to find all this. I got my laptop open here. So what's another thing that you don't do? A lot of people do this, and I don't know why, but
I don't know.
Never, some people have done this. I know we used to do it growing up. I don't know if you've ever did this. You know when your hands go numb, they fall asleep, and people will slap their hand? Never do that,
right,
with hypothermia, frostbite, or anything. Rub them, and I don't mean hard, you know, but slowly rub your hands together or rub your hands over whatever it is, rub it. The friction will slowly, you know, warm that area. A lot of times you take your hands to your mouth and you're blowing, like the hot air will help keep your hands warm, things like that will help. Dress in layers. That always helps. Like if you're going to be outside, so here we're going to go. Here, get some frostbite for you. Okay, I love Mayo Clinic. If you go on Mayo Clinic, you can, if you want to look something up, you can get pretty good information on Mayo Clinic or Cleveland Clinic. It's pretty good. So, anywho, so like I said, frostbite's an injury caused by freezing of the skin and underlying tissues. In the earliest stage of frostbite, like I said, frost nip, there's no permanent damage with frost nip. Sometimes you won't have permanent damage with frostbite depending on how bad it is. Now, if you're at the stage of black, forget it. That's permanent damage.
Oh, here's a question on this. So
sure.
You got your frostbite and you have your different degrees of frostbite. Is that kind of like burns? You got first degree burns, you get first degree frostbite?
Yeah, you have, there's different degrees of everything. So stage one of, well, it's not, actually, here's the thing. It's not like staged, but there are stages. Like frost nip, frostbite, and then hypothermia. Pretty much the way it goes. Everything, same thing with heat stroke. There's heat exhaustion and heat stroke. I think there's one more between there, but I think it's like three of them. But so, yeah, I mean, wind is what's going to get you. Wind can give you any of those, not just cold. The same thing if you're on a beach. You can get windburn even underneath a canopy or an awning or something like that. You could still get windburn from the heat. It sucks, but you can get it. So, windy weather is most vulnerable to frostbite, but it can affect skin covered by gloves or other clothing. You may not even realize you have it until somebody shows you. You know why? Because it starts affecting the nerve endings in your fingers and toes. And you can't feel it. It's kind of like a diabetic. This weather sucks for diabetics. They already have diabetic neuropathy. And so they already have issues feeling wounds in their feet. Or if they step on a nail, they already have that problem. You know what I'm saying? So you may not even know it. You know, have you noticed how you go out and it gets really, really cold and your nose gets all runny and cold and all that? All that cold air moisture, that's why you'll see people with, I know sometimes it's a little exaggerated, the little icicles on their eyelashes, the nose hair, in the beard and mustache. That's just because it's able to get trapped there. But, so at first, one of the first signs of it is the skin is cold. It's a prickly feeling, kind of like when your fingers or a part of your body goes to sleep. That tingly, prickly feeling, numbness, skin, and like I said, and it will go, and if you go on the Mayo Clinic, right, and look up frostbite, there's actually a picture that has the stages. There's four stages where it shows from the very first of frost nip all the way to the black necrotic death of your skin to full-blown frostbite. And it'll show you, usually at your fingertips, and then it starts moving up towards the knuckles, then towards the hand. So it goes skin that's red, white, bluish white, grayish yellow, purplish, brown or ashen. It also depends on, one, the darkness of how much melanin you have in your skin. The darker you are, the harder it's going to be to tell how far, you know what I'm saying, how you if you have frostbite or whatever progresses. Your skin can be hard or it looks waxy. Not to mention, excessive cold can make you tired, make you clumsy. You get stiff joints and muscles. And here's the only bad part about getting frostnip or frostbite. When you're getting up in those stages, right, the farther along it progresses, and once you get out of the elements and you start warming up, that shit hurts. It's painful. But that's just because, think of it this way. You ever take a balloon and with the helium, or hell, even your tires, in the cold, it constricts. It gets smaller. And the blood flow will leave certain areas of your body, mostly it's your fingertips because they're the smallest, your toes, it's the smallest, right? So when you get warmed back up, all that warmed up blood, because it's going to, your blood will go higher up to the core of your body to protect your core and all of your organs. Once you warm up, the blood's going to start flowing again, and when it goes back, it hurts. It feels like it's burning. But it's not. It's just warm. So just for warning, if you've never, ever, ever been where it's been cold, say you move from a warm climate to a colder climate, you have to acclimate to that weather. Some people can do it in one winter. Some people, it takes years. I moved from Miami to New Hampshire. Acclimate that shit. It took me probably 5 years before I could acclimate to that type of cold. They didn't have inches of snow. We had feet of snow. Your body has to acclimate to that type of weather. Same thing if you're going from a cold climate to a hot climate in the summertime. You know, you've got to acclimate to that type of weather. So there's frost nip, superficial frostbite, and deep, severe frostbite. So it's the frost nip is a mild form. Continued cold exposure will lead to numbness in the affected area. And that, like I said, as it warms, it can be tingly and painful. But it doesn't cause permanent damage. Okay? Superficial frostbite causes slight skin changes in color. The skin may begin to feel warm, and that's a sign of serious skin involvement. If you treat the frostbite with rewarming at this stage, the surface of the skin may appear mottled. Okay, I don't know if you guys know what mottled is. Look at your skin right now. What color are you? Mottled means it's a blotchy looking, sometimes mottling can be white, red, purplish, or blue. A lot of times we see that your skin mottles right before you pass, but that doesn't mean that. It's the same principle. Doesn't mean you're going to die, but it's the same thing. That's what mottling is. Your skin will look patchy, okay? And you may notice the stinging, burning, and swelling. A fluid blister may appear 12 to 36 hours after. So kind of like a sunburn. You know how your skin blisters with a sunburn? You don't always get it that day. You might get it the next day or the day after. Same thing. And the same thing applies. Don't pop them. Let them, you know, heal and reabsorb, or whatever happens, it'll do it all on its own. So deep, severe frostbite, as frostbite progresses, it affects all layers of the skin as well as the tissues below. So you have all the different layers of your skin. This goes all the way down. The skin will turn white or bluish gray, eventually to black. And you lose all sensation of cold, pain, or discomfort. Same thing happens with burns, because it damages the nerve endings. Once those are damaged, you're not going to feel anything. So joints or muscles may stop working. Large blisters form about 24 to 48 hours after rewarming, and the tissue will turn black and hard as it dies. So, and it will be hard. You feel your skin like a callus. For all you guys that work, well, even women, let's rephrase that. For anybody that works real hard and they don't wear gloves for their job or whatever, and you get calluses, that's what it feels like, how you get that skin, but it actually turns black. And unfortunately, once that sets in, you're talking amputation of fingers or toes, feet, hands, limbs, whatever, depending on how bad it is. You cannot keep a finger or toe or whatever that's got dead necrotic skin, because then it'll turn to gangrene, and then you'll die from sepsis. So don't want to scare you, but if you get it, it's got to be taken care of. So seek medical attention right away if you get frostbite. You really shouldn't take care of it on your own. I mean, like. You go outside and kids, you go out and play in the snow, or you go snowboarding or whatever, skiing. There are some things, yeah, you could take care of it on your own, by all means. Another thing to do, if your hands get really, really cold, ladies, I know, haha, it's a funny joke sometimes. Your feet get really cold, where are you going to put them? On your husband's back or under his legs. But, yeah, you can actually put your hands in your armpit or in your groin, sit on your hands, whatever. That will help warm them up as well. But anyway, signs and symptoms of superficial or deep frostbite, you need to seek medical help. Increased pain, swelling, or inflammation, or if you start having anything that oozes out of an area that has frostbite. If you get fever, or if you start having any new symptoms, just out of the blue. We'd be like, yeah, I'm going to go to the hospital real quick, like, you know, get it checked out. Seek emergency care for hard, cold, blotchy skin. Like I said, the modeling. If it gets too bad, you're really going to need to seek help. I don't know if they still do this or not, but I know once upon a time, actually use warm IV fluids if you have, that's hypothermia, so I don't know about frostbite. But I do know they used to do the warmed IV fluids for the hypothermia. I wouldn't go, now if you got it and you've been outside and exposed, I wouldn't go drinking like scalding hot coffee or hot tea. That's a little too much of a shock for your body, and you could actually put your body in shock. I would drink warm liquids, not hot. You don't want to throw your body into all kinds of crazy shock. But also, I'm going to go over hypothermia as well. But so some symptoms of hypothermia is intense shivering, slurred speech, drowsiness, or loss of coordination. Have you noticed that I know all these movies you may watch and they're out in the elements and they always get tired. That's because everything is shutting down because it's too cold. That's why. And you will get tired. So what to do in the meantime, if you get frostbite, remove wet clothing. Protect the affected area from further cold. Not walking on frostbitten feet. That's the worst thing you could do. You don't want to put, like, the bottom of your feet. Reducing pain with a pain reliever. Tylenol, Motrin, whatever works the best. Use either one of those. So here are some... let's see, hold a second. These are a few things that can lead to frostbite. Believe it or not just the cold weather or the wind or snow or ice. Wearing clothing that isn't suitable for the conditions you're in. One, like shorts. Hello, stupid. We're shorts in snow, but I know some family members that do that. Don't wear clothes that are too tight. You need to layer. Like, I don't know about you, Lorna, but I wear leggings under my pants just for the added protection of warmth.
It depends on the weather. You know, like this right now, I have my longies on, my wool socks on. I got a long sleeve shirt and a T-shirt and a sweatshirt and my boots. That's about my daily thingy when it's this cold.
Yeah,
but when you get enough,
yeah,
but when
layers.
I get up into the 20s and 30s, then it's usually just my woolly socks and a T-shirt and a sweatshirt.
Yeah, I mean, I like myself. I wear my Under Armour shirt, then my nursing shirt, and then I have a jacket. It's one of those Sherpa I got from. What the hell? Sports Authority, one of those really nice soft ones. Lately, I haven't been wearing heavy winter coats. I don't know, maybe because I layer. You don't always have – it depends on how windy it is also. Like, some winters, it has that freezing wind that just will blow through everything you have on. I don't care how much you got on. That wind is going to cut right through it. So, but I wear – my leggings or long johns, whatever, underneath pants, you know. And then I do need to get
I want to get me a pair of them old school things where it's got the buttons on the butt, so you have to go.
Oh, yeah.
Those One Piece.
Hey, you know what I used to have? What I used to have is toe socks where each I love those. But you know what? Because each individual toe was wrapped, that's why your feet get cold. Because it's like a mitten.
That's why I don't want to wear gloves because your fingers are freeze in them. I'd rather wear mittens. And
oh, really?
Because in the mittens, I can fit double my fist up and keep my hands warm with my, with my own heat.
Yeah, but see, for some reason, for toes, it's not the same. It's not quite the same thing for toes. I don't know why.
No. One of my nephews just posted, I can't remember the name brand of the boot, but he picked up a boot where it's rated for negative 145 degrees.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he said he had it out snowmobiling, and he said his feet did actually get cold, but that was because his feet were sweating.
Oh, that's the other thing. there's two other things you forgot to go over. When you're shoveling snow or out in it, do you know what two of the biggest causes of ER visits from shoveling snow? Not snow blowers, shoveling snow.
Back injury.
Pulled back muscles and heart attacks. Not because it's cold. Because your heart is overworking. This is what you have to watch out, guys, if for heart attacks. That's one of the biggest things I used to, when I worked in the hospital. We did see a lot of pulled back muscles and heart attacks. So watch out for that.
The name brand of them boots, if anybody wants to know, are called Baffin, Baffin.
Oh,
and you
okay.
can get them on it, and you can get them on it, and you can get them on Amazon.
The Vibram soles, I would go to Bass Pro, and they got they're waterproof, and they're skid resistant, and all of that. If you go out, that's another thing is you want to have a proper shoe, or boot, or whatever. You know, you don't want to go outside in these flimsy. Look at some of these sneakers that people wear. They're mesh. They have holes. You know, the little. You know, they're not exactly cold weather shoes. So make sure you have the proper shoes on.
That's one thing that really ticks me off about jackets these days. They're not made for our temperatures where we live. They're these light little flimsy little things. It's sickening.
Oh, I know. It is, and I think it all has to do with, and we're not going to go there. you guys know, if you've ever listened to our shows, you know where we're going with this comment. It's all part of the grand design, okay? That's all I'm going to say about it. Wear layers. If you get wet, remove wet clothes. Get dry as soon as possible. Here's the other thing. If you build a fire, don't sit right hovering next to it. Because, like I said, if you warm up too fast, it's going to hurt more. So, you know, start feeling the heat if you have to build a fire or if you're in a fireplace, whatever. Sit where you could just start to feel the warmth of it. And then once you warm up, then you could get closer or whatever, you know. So there's other risk factors to worry about for frostbite. Dehydration. If you're dehydrated, that can lead to frostbite. Excessive sweating, exhaustion, diabetes, and poor blood flow in the limbs. Oh, that's what it was. So if you're out shoveling, skiing, snowboarding, anything out in the elements, right? and you start sweating, start removing some of your layers, because that sweat is going to get cold. You're going to want to start removing some of those layers. Just say you have like 5 layers of jacket, shirts, and sweatshirts and all that. You can remove the outer layer, maybe the second layer, so you stop sweating, because you don't want to sweat and then be outside, and then, God forbid, now you're cold and wet. So, you know what? It's something else that – this is something that we did when I lived up north, when we took the kids sledding. Believe it or not, we did this, but I don't know how – honestly, I don't think it was – we would put the kids' socks on, right? And we would take bread bags and cover their feet, but then put their boots on. So, because sometimes, you know how when you go out and play in the snow, you get soaking wet? Well, that inner layer doesn't get wet because you got a plastic bag on. But, hey, don't believe me. Don't go – that's something that we used to do back in the day. I don't know if kids still do this or not. Hold on a second. I guess got another – come on. Okay. So, okay, so by midnight is when it's going to start whipping up the wind. It's going to start around 10 to 20 mile an hour winds, 26, and then it's going to start by 5 o'clock, we're going to be at the 30 mile an hour winds. So it's going to be, and that's what you hear. Ours are going to be around 20 to 30 mile an hour winds. So look on your, on it. Oh, no, my phone just froze. Kind of ironic. Okay. You can go and check on your local, the weather channel. Oh, I hate this stupid phone. But right now, it's this big storm is in parts of northern Denver, Colorado, coming straight between Nebraska and Kansas, and then it's going all up into Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa. That's the biggest part of it right now. Oh, hold on a second. Hold on a second, guys. I got to go. Oh, gosh. Nobody comes home and they act like retarded people. Good Lord. Okay, so yeah, it's a pretty big storm right now. Okay, so you went through the health reasons. Alcohol and drug use also runs your risk of frostbite and hypothermia. Smoking. This says fear, panic, or mental illness that impairs your judgment. I guess with they must have just done that. I took them outside. Freaking dogs, I swear. Anybody want a dog or two? Yeah, I mean, I guess if you have mental illness, I guess it impairs your judgment as judgment calls, like risky behavior, going outside without being properly dressed. I guess that's how that would be a risk. If you have a previous frostbite or cold injury, that's a risk. Now, here's what's really weird. I had a heat stroke. My body is actually prone to more having another heat stroke or even hypothermia or frostbite simply because it threw my body off. And, crap. Yeah, my body doesn't like either excessively hot or cold. Being an infant or older adult, the problem is babies they're smaller, they're thinner skin. Same thing with the elderly. They can't really, they don't have the ability to know what to do. Yes, you know, your body will shiver when it's cold, but it's not as prevalent in the infants or children and the elderly. Being at high altitude where there's less oxygen. So some complications, increased sensitivity to cold. You know, once your body has either high or low, whatever, you're going to have that increased sensitivity to cold. Long-term numbness in the affected area. If you don't lose the body part, like I said, it may not be permanent. Some things are, some things aren't. But that area can be prone to numbness. You could also, some complications, excessive sweating. Your body's way of heating up. Actually, that's cooling off. When you get hot, you sweat, you cool off. Changes in skin color. Changes in or loss of nails. Sometimes you may lose a fingernail or a toenail. I did not know they had this. I've never heard of this. Frostbite, arthritis. So that would be a permanent damage to a joint. Same thing from a sports injury. If you get injured to a joint and you could end up with arthritis in that joint. But I've never heard of frostbite arthritis. There could be growth problems in children if frostbite damages a bone's growth plate. Infection, tinnitus, or tetanus, gangrene, like I said, decay and death of tissue resulting from an interruption of blood flow to the affected area, which can result in amputation. So once you get to that necrotic frostbite stage, gangrene is next. Then your infection. And like I said, you don't want to get to that stage of frostbite. And then you can go into hypothermia. And that's your whole body, not just fingertips, toes, nose, and things like that. So let's go over, so prevention, like we said, limit how long you're outside in the elements or wet or windy weather. Without running the risk of sounding like my father, who always had the Weather Channel on, pay attention to what the weather's going to be like and be prepared. So you can be properly dressed, properly like in your vehicle. I know it's not something you always want to think about, but being prepared will keep you from having problems from the weather. Dress in several layers of loose, warm clothing. Wear a hat or headband that fully covers your ears. Wear mittens. This is wear mittens rather than gloves. I don't know. Now, if you want to wear, now this is something I would do, wear gloves and then put mittens on top of them. Like those, you know, those thin gloves, those white gloves, for like, have you seen them little cotton gloves? Wear those and then put a pair of mittens on. Wear socks and sock liners. Wick moisture and provide, wear those wick moisture socks that prevents the your socks from getting wet. Let's see. Oh, if you use foot warmers, right, make sure that they don't make your shoe too tight. So, I mean, foot warmers aren't that damn big, but, I mean, most foot warmers shouldn't be thicker than, you know, those gel insoles that you put in your shoes, Dr. Scholl's? They really shouldn't be warmer, thicker than that, but just make sure that they don't make your shoes too tight, because then that's where you run into other problems as well. Don't drink alcohol if you plan to be outdoors in cold weather. if you're going to be out, like, driving, traveling, or whatever, make sure you have your little emergency preparedness kit in your car. Stay hydrated. Make sure you eat, you know, before you go out, and keep moving. You don't, I know it, if it hurts, if you're cold, just say you're out and you're hiking or whatever. Walk in place, walk in little circles. Try to keep moving, because once you stop moving, that's when the tiredness, you know, the lethargy will set in, and then you're SOL. So I'm actually going to keep this because I like this Mayo Clinic one. So is hypothermia. So hypothermia is your whole entire body, not just your arms, legs, fingers, toes, whatever. So let me get this whole thing opened all the way up. Okay. So some symptoms of hypothermia: shivering, slurred speech, clumsiness, weak pulse, lack of coordination, memory loss, dizziness, redness of the skin, and loss of consciousness. Any of those, any or all of, go to a doctor, or hopefully someone smart enough around you to get you to a doctor. But those are some more of your severe hypothermia. Okay, because it will affect your brain. But your brain and your heart, your lungs, all the blood's going to go there to protect those organs. That's why you end up with frost, you know. So the most common causes of hypothermia is cold water and cold weather, ice, snow, yada, yada. So exposure to cold, like we've already got, some of this stuff is going to be kind of repetitive, but this, with hypothermia, is looking at your whole entire body as a whole. Not wearing clothes that are warm enough. Staying out in the cold for too long, or cold and wet. Believe it or not, you can get hypothermia in cold rain. Or just say, like up north, there, the ocean up there, that's in, you know, New Hampshire and Mass up there, that friggin' ocean water up there, 40 degrees, maybe 50. It has to stay, you know, like 100-degree days to even remotely warm the ocean water up. You could get hypothermia from being in that ocean for too long. And then when if the wind starts blowing, you could get, that's how you can get hypothermia that way. So it's not just winter weather to get hypothermia. Unfortunately, falling into cold water by accident or accidentally on purpose. So some of the risk factors, elderly and children are more likely to have hypothermia just because of age, and not to mention skin. So that's your skin becomes compromised the older you get. I don't know if you've noticed this, guys. The older you get, you start losing collagen in your skin, and that's when you get that, I call it crepey skin, and that's when, like, you have little to no body fat. And I'm telling you, take phyllo dough, that thin pastry dough, and if you were to wrinkle it up and put it on top of your skin, that's what some elderly people's skin looks like. You could actually see through it. That's how bad it is. That's why they could get hypothermia more. They don't have very much fat. But just because you're, as I like to call us, we're the big, healthy, husky, fluffy, and damn, really fat people could still get hypothermia, believe it or not. Yes, your extra adipose tissue will keep you warm, but you're not impervious to hypothermia. Sorry, we still get cold. Alcohol causes vasodilation and heat loss. Medications, antidepressants, antipsychotics, affect the body's ability to regulate temperature. So, but also people who've been a previous cold or hot weather injury it kind of messes up our thermostat inside our body, and that's why you have that other that's why you have a hard time with it also. Overexertion. The tolerance for cold diminishes when you're tired. Don't know if you guys noticed that or not. The shoveling of the snow. You get tired. You get worn out quicker. Diabetics. Thyroid conditions. Thyroid because that's affecting your internal thermostat as well. And severe trauma. So, how do we prevent hypothermia? Some of it's repetitive, yes, I know, but guess what? Too bad. Wearing warm clothes during during cold weather.
I was going to say pack your shit and move slow.
Oh, my God. My dog just farted, and she just stunk up the living room. Good God. I'm telling you, oh, I gave her some chili. That's why. She's got chili farts. And I gave her less than a half a cup of chili. Good God. And she ate that like 5 hours ago. Good Lord, child. Anywho, staying as dry as possible. Bringing your kids indoors as soon as they start shivering. Listen, kids, I know you want to play in the snow, and it's fun, but here's what I used to do for the kids. Always have them more than one set of warm, like gloves, hats, scarves, boots, and this and the other. This is why I do this. As soon as their nose starts to turn pinkish red, okay, time to come in. Unless you look like that little kid off of Stupid Christmas Movie where he looks like the Stay Puft Marshmallow Man in the snowsuit. Is it the Christmas Story or whatever it's called?
Yeah,
yeah, but you know how kids' snowsuits are, right? Well, they don't always cover the face completely, but sometimes you let their eyes stick out. But, anywho, like I said, once they start shivering or their nose starts turning red, okay, I would bring my kids inside. They would strip everything off, and we used to have those radiator heaters. We lived up north. So they had the mounted to the wall radiator heaters and stuff like that. So they would take it off, put it on there. Now, if you've noticed this, what happens when you do this? They're outside playing in the snow, right? And you come inside and you take those mittens off, the hat and the scarf. You put them on the heater. You know what happens? That snow, ice, melts. Then it's soaking wet. That's why we're saying take it off. It's just as bad. So I would let it heat up, warm up, dry, and then make the kids stay inside for an hour or two, and then let them go back outside and play for a little bit. I would only let them out there for like half hour at a time, maybe 45 minutes. It all depends. Unless we're outside sledding, and we used to go to like the golf course, and half the city would be there with the kids and going. And here's the thing: some of these little hills that the kids play on, you're tired. You go down, you have to walk all the way back up. You go down, back and forth. They'd probably make 10 trips. Okay, they're done. Let them play in moderation. If it's too windy out, I mean, I'm talking. If it's blizzardy out, I'm making up new words as I go along. If it's too blizzardy out and the wind is blowing, don't go outside. Stay inside. Now, if it's just snowing and there's no wind, no real wind or anything, oh, go outside and play in the snow. Limit your time that you're outside. Even for adults, not just for children. This says children should wear an extra layer of clothing, but here's the thing, like I said, if you're cold, they're cold. Okay, so that's why they say don't over-bundle a child. Some of these parents now, they're putting their children in snowsuits inside the house, and they're sweating, they're going to have a heat stroke because they're too hot. So that's why... If you're chilly, your infant or your toddler is probably going to be a little chilly too. Put something on them. That's what you always have to remember. If you're dumb enough to go on a boat on a lake and it's freezing out, wear a life jacket. But chances are my happy ass ain't going on that lake in the middle of winter. It just ain't going to happen.
Wow.
You know it's colder? It's colder. Okay. When you're on the water and it's cold out, it's going to be colder than if you were to be on land.
Well,
water
I, was scrolling, I was scrolling through my stuff, and it's so cold that they're actually shutting down Trollhagen Ski Resort.
They're shutting down ski resorts?
Yeah, because of the temperatures here.
Oh, yeah, that's what I'm saying. They were shutting the highway down, the on-ramps, because of the accident. Like I said, if it's snowing, it's okay unless it's got this Arctic black friggin' wind. This shit's going, I mean, it's, like I said, it's over half the United States is being affected by this cold front. Huddling with others will reduce heat loss. So if you're stuck outside and, say, in an accident or your car broke down or you're hiking like an idiot in the snow or whatever, and you get stuck outside, huddle up together. Body heat, your body heat will heat up somebody else. For all of our listeners that are veterans, I don't know about Bobby. I don't know if Bobby had to. I doubt it because he was in a boat. But I know in the Army, we got these sleeping bags, and they came with three layers. The inner layer, the middle layer, and the outer layer. And the outer layer was mostly, that's the waterproof part to the sleeping bag. But when we were in basic training, and it was Christmas time, and we were at Fort Jackson, and it was probably 30 degrees, maybe 30 during the day, but at night it would drop to like 10 degrees. And here's the thing about these sleeping bags. They make different types of sleeping bags for different types of weather, for different temperatures of weather. But in the military, this specific one is meant for you to sleep in your underwear and T-shirt inside, not be fully clothed. I didn't believe it. I thought it was bullshit. And I slept in my ACUs, and I was freezing. And so I'm like, okay, fine. If you can withstand long enough to strip down in your T-shirt and underwear, put your ACUs, like, on the inside, on the underneath the outer layer so you don't get them all wrinkled, because God forbid. But once you slept in your T-shirt and your underwear, you were warmer, and you were catatonic knocked out for the whole night. So for those who want to brave the weather and go camping and whatnot, they do have special sleeping bags for different types of temperature. So it's important to have that. Now, here's the thing. You're not going to want a sleeping bag that goes to negative 50 degree weather. You're going to want, if you're going camping in the summertime, you know what I'm saying? You're not going to want a winter sleeping bag in the summertime. So, but yeah. Let's see. We already went over that. Gangrene. So, yeah, if you end up with, okay. Oh, so complications during recovery of hypothermia can be heart arrhythmias, pneumonia, ventricular fibrillation, and cardiac arrest and death. So because the cold, it will affect your heart. It's because of the electricity of your heart, you know. Oh, excuse me. And things like that. So it can be affected. So that's all for hypothermia, frostbite, frost nip, our little preparedness for the car, for the house. Oh, yes, one other thing. Don't forget, depending on wherever you live, once your temperature, I'd say once the temp gets at least in the 20s and below, don't forget to keep your water running in your sinks, like a slow little trickle, little stream, a little bit. You know, you don't want to run your water bill up to $1,000, but you don't want your pipes to rupture. So, and they do make, believe it or not, they make, there's two types of wraps for your pipes. There's a heat wrap, believe it or not. You wrap your pipes up in it, and you plug it in. And it actually, it's like a little heated blanket for all your pipes. And you just wrap it all the way down. It's just a little thin layer. And then they also have the wrap, like a little insulator you can wrap your pipes with. Or even those little, some people use those pool noodles. They slice it down the middle. There's already a hole in the middle of it. They slice it, and they pop it on other pipes, and that helps give it an added extra layer of heat to their pipes. But that is all I got for the flipping cold.
Oh, one thing more is whether, no matter where you are, if it's cold out, they say to make sure you eat too, because that gives your body energy and it'll help keep you warm.
Yeah. Make sure it's healthy. I don't want to eat crap.
No.
You want to eat food that's like, and not necessarily high caloric, high protein, things like that. It's what you want, your complex carbs. You want stuff that's going to last.
Right.
You know. Now,
like
don't get
gravy,
me wrong.
Oh, my God.
Now, don't get me wrong. Yes, people do drink, like, we'll just say liquor, for one thing. Yes, it will warm you up for a short period of time, but drinking in excess causes a vasodilation and there causes other problems. So, I mean, if it's just like a, you know what I'm saying, like a little, take a little nip here and there, that's okay. But I'm just saying, whatever you do, do it in moderation and don't be stupid and things like that. Now I had to go pick up dog poop in my hallway because they're stupid. My dogs have pee pads and they poop on the carpet. Little buttholes. I'm like, seriously? You're cutting the poop on the friggin' poop? Well, that's it. Bobby, I'm done. Bobby's hiding or sleeping or whatever.
Free beer.
No, I'm here.
Okay.
I'm here.
I'm done. What in the actual hell? I tell
you,
I'm going to choke some
dumb
dogs.
You're not dumb.
No, I'm not dumb. The dogs are dumb. I have to rehome two damn dogs. Driving me before. I'm about to go. I've been in this house not even a damn month, and I got to shampoo the carpet. Because they're stupid. Oh, God. So that's all. That's pretty much all for right now for the cold weather. Crap.
Yeah, it's, the temps are going low around everywhere, I'll tell you. They're claiming that it's going to be like 13 degrees Saturday here. And we ain't never had that.
Oh, is it?
Florida, Florida, down where my aunt is, it's supposed to be down to 19.
Harp, like we said,
Yep. I don't care what anybody says. I will fight you.
Exactly.
It's harsh. It's harsh, without a doubt.
Because they're still trying to push their climate change bullshit.
They even said, Biden even admitted there's no global warming.
Exactly.
But if you look at your snow, today I looked, because it was like a little dusting snow. Has anybody ever seen snow that was shaped like rice?
No.
I kid you not.
No.
The snow was in the shape of rice. You know, that white shit that you eat. That's what shape it was. I'm telling you, that's not natural. Yeah, that's unnatural. Damn, dog. But
yep.
What's that?
That's them messing with the weather is more chance for them to get suck out more taxpayer money.
Put that one next to that one. But yeah, remember to bring your pets in and your kids. You know, don't leave them outside. Not a good thing.
Should leave one outside though.
I'm gonna leave you damn dogs outside.
Big hell no.
But anywho, you guys stay warm, be safe. Thanks again for another great show, Kimmy.
Oh, no problem.
And God bless America. God bless our children. First responders, veterans, military. God bless the Defender 7. Good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.